much about.
You gotta put it into perspective.
Nothing seems funny this week.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert, you know?
Totally committed to the bit.
Hey, listen, anytime you want me to come on and say something, just you know, and if you want to sing on the air, I've been on the phone with David Hasselhoff all night. The Hoff loves to rock.
More at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most. The f*** are you doing? We need to acknowledge an unfortunate mistake that I made and one of the teases we bring to you before this program. While we were live just after 10 o'clock, I said a word that many people find offensive. I'm truly sorry. It was a mistake on my part, and I sincerely apologize.
And now,
right?
Our feature presentation.
That has to be a news anchor's worst nightmare is to go to work and accidentally say the F word on television.
What was the circumstances?
She was just yelling at somebody on the set. She thought they had gone, you know, from the news to the commercial break. And you hear her yelling at somebody on the set. What the F are you looking at? Turned out her mic was still up. They were still on the air. Ended up going over the broadcast.
Well, that's not only embarrassing. It makes her look like a bitch.
Yes, it does. Yes, wow. It does. So, good times. Welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday. I want to say it's Wednesday.
Yes,
something like
is.
That. Yeah. How's everybody doing? Lisa, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Little boner started limping yesterday. Here we go.
What do you mean, here we go?
Because you know how dogs are. It's just one day something goes wrong, and then you're like, all right, why don't I just give my paycheck to the vet?
Oh, I see. you'll just put him down, right, if he doesn't straighten right up.
Well, I think I'll start with just taking care of, you know, cutting off the
taking him to the vet first? Yeah.
Three-legged dogs are fine.
So okay.
I'll just start with that.
Do we think there's something wrong with him, or is it just... temporary.
I think it's a like, you know how they have, I think a tendon gets hooked somewhere and then mm-hmm. he has trouble putting his leg down, I think.
You should have gotten a real dog instead of a rat. You wouldn't have all these problems.
That's probably true.
Muggs, I won't ask you. Your stories kill me.
Yep.
It just gets worse every day with Muggs.
True. Here's an awesome story, though, that won't kill you. I think you're going to love this one very much. Here's a beautiful young couple out of India who met at university. They have been dating since 2007, and they are very much in love. They are engaged to be married. In fact, the woman is 8 months pregnant. So as they are getting together to plan their wedding nuptials, they decide, as all young couples do, hey, it looks like our families ought to meet. He came from a single family home, a single parent home, rather. He just was raised by his dad. She was also in a single parent home, just raised by his mom. So you could probably see where this is headed.
Really?
As they get together mere weeks before the actual wedding, and it is revealed that his father and her mother are, in fact, exes, and that the young in love couple with child is brother and sister.
I didn't see. I thought you were going to say that they, I don't know, fell in love or something. And they got married too.
Our brother and sister had no idea.
No.
Their parents had broken up when the children were very small. I think the boy was 2 and the little girl was only 8 months old when the parents broke up. They lived and grew up about 50 miles away from one another. And they met at college. And what do you do with that situation when you show up and you go, no. Oh. First of all, it's, oh, you guys know each other? And then it's, oh, you guys used to be married? And then finally it's, oh, you're our parents.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Jeez.
With the come on, right?
So each of them took a kid?
Yes, that's right.
And never let them see each other?
That's right.
That's really one way crappy.
It was absolutely, yeah. So that means this father had a little girl he never met from the time she was a tiny baby, and same in reverse with the mom, yeah.
How do you do that?
They're devastated by the revelation. They reflected that it was love at first sight. They were studying together at college. When I first saw him, she said, we connected. We fell in love since that day. We've never looked back. All we ever wanted to do was just have a family and many kids. So you can imagine how shocked we were when they broke the news. We're about to have a child together. We do not know what we will tell him when he grows up. They have decided to break up, Lisa.
I wondered if they wouldn't stay together and just have the one child.
I think that's what they should do. I mean, if they're in love, they've been together for 5 years, yeah. It's hardly their fault. I mean, you know, fingers crossed that the kid comes out okay. But they said they've decided to break up. Apparently in India, there's nothing more taboo than incest. And, you know, even though it was unbeknownst to them, that's what happened. And it's what's further interesting about this article in the Daily Mail, by the way, is they go on to say that it is not uncommon for siblings who don't know one another to have a strong sexual attraction toward each other, which I had not heard about. It's called genetic sexual attraction. And they say it's something that comes up between close relatives who meet as adults. And they say that the reason most people, there's something inherently natural that repulses you from your siblings and close relatives when you're growing up, that they think is inbred into humans so that they don't breed with close relatives.
Oh, I see, because there is a natural attraction. So nature's figured out a way to
That's
derail
right.
that. Unless
yes.
you don't know about it.
Unless you don't know each other. Right, exactly. So,
well,
just
now maybe they've got the heebie-jeebies about each other, too. You know, maybe they look at each other and they're just like,
maybe so. I mean, I think, how can that not change your opinion of how you feel? You're looking at this chick that you thought a minute ago was hot. You can't wait for her to have the stupid baby so you guys can start having sex again. And now you're thinking, oh, my God, that's my sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there is some of that.
There you go, then.
I just... I wish there had been, I want everything to be a reality show, but I especially wish that had been a reality show. I wish that we would have been able to see that conversation and see that reaction and see how it played out and see the levels of, I don't believe what's happening to me that must have happened with everybody involved in this story.
Yeah, the mother must have just fell to the ground, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would have fainted at that point. Like, what could be more shocking?
And what are the chances that these two people separated as little kids would grow up and meet and fall in love and arrange to get married and have a kid all those years later? I mean, it's just crazy, crazy story. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Is there a word that means more than yes?
There isn't, actually. But I think you're going to be very pleased with today's show. We had to bump it yesterday, but today we will present the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices on the show. It's been a while since we've done that. I know Ralph is delighted.
Sure.
We got another episode where we deconstruct Dr. Drew's life changers on the CW. Yesterday he put on the robe, picked up a gavel, became Judge Drudy, and settled an argument between adult film stars, one who claims the other is cheating on him. So.
I tried to record that, and my DVR actually refused, because I went back later and it wasn't there. It said, nope, F you.
Your DVR actually said that.
Yes, it did.
We have more tickets for you to go to the Twilight world premiere on the red carpet coming up on Monday night. If you want to be the first to see the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1, we can hook you up. Of course, the movie opens everywhere on Friday, November 18th. You'll get to see it 4 days early. We'll give you a chance to win those. We're going to talk about guys who text naked photos of themselves. I don't think this is as common as it is in reverse, because guys are pestering girls to send them naked photos after they've met them about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think girls are begging their men to take naked pictures and send them, though.
No, I know. And when I get them, and please don't send them, I'm I always think, is this a joke? Because most of the time they're not that great.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. Suck it in, boys.
I don't think the men's equipment is as aesthetically pleasing. I think it is functional, but I don't think it's something necessarily that you want to see.
It, yeah.
And that's the reverse.
I mean,
that's
if
the
you
reverse.
Lighted it up right and everything and made it look like Michelangelo or something, maybe.
So you're suggesting if the guys are willing to put a little effort in, go ahead and send you those naked pictures.
No, Lisa, I'm just saying they could be improved.
Also, we'll talk to a film director who's, blind, yet he still decided he wants to make movies. How's that going for him? We've got a brand new internet roundup for you on the program today. And coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we're going to talk to the man who's at the center of a firestorm in Detroit. He started an online petition that has tens of thousands of people joining him to try to stop the NFL from allowing Nickelback to perform at the Detroit Lions game on Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
And it is really picking up steam to the point where at some point, I mean, I guess they could just ignore it, but that is going to be a hostile crowd if Nickelback walks out at this point, because it's a pretty big story in Detroit.
I feel kind of bad for Nickelback.
I do too, but they should have thought about that before they sucked.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the basis of the problem is here. So anyway, all of that coming up here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We'll get it going with Ralph and the Showbiz Beat next, right after this. Nirvana coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Also some Cage the Elephant, Linkin Park, Black Keys 2. It's Wednesday. Ralph Garman steps in. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
I don't care. Let's play Life Changers. Whatever happens, just like
I know. It's coming up in less than an hour, Ralph. Did you watch?
No,
did you watch?
I couldn't. I was busy yesterday afternoon. I missed it.
You understand that one porn star goes to Dr. Drudy because his porn star girlfriend
Who does the porn star go to?
Dr. Drudy. Judge Drudy, I guess, is Judge what they're Drudy. Calling him. Judge yeah. Drudy, yeah. And is complaining that his porn star girlfriend is still acting in adult movies and he doesn't like it. That's what the judge was there to
rule
on.
But that dude is an adult film actor.
He's retired now.
Because I've seen him in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he's retired. He's out.
And he's got a problem with his girlfriend who's making adult
movies.
Doing
porn. That's right.
Yes. I see. Oh, so. Okay. Hi. Okay. Good. All I want to know is, was Drew dressed as a judge sitting behind a bench like
with a gavel and a black robe? Yes, he was.
And a hilarious, sassy black female bailiff?
Comedian Lonnie Love? All of that happened. That's what Drew went to medical school for.
All right. Okay.
Got highlights of that coming up. And we'll talk to the guy with the Nickelback petition coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, here's Ralph.
Maybe he should take his case against Nickelback to Judge Drudy.
Great idea.
Maybe they could solve it there. Sounds like all the world's problems. Sad news. Rapper actor Heavy D has died. He was rushed to the hospital here in Los Angeles and an hour later pronounced dead. Just 44 years old.
Look at Muggs scrambling rather than just hitting the button with the clip.
I didn't want to step on Ralph Bean.
I didn't know there was a clip, but feel free to play one if you like.
He was on a little bit of a comeback, too. He did a very well-received performance at that BET hip-hop show, the month before, something like that? I mean, he just was kind of coming back out of retirement a little bit and into the music world again.
Well, his last hits were in the 90s. However, he was a very busy performer. His acting took over from his music, and he worked in a ton of stuff, a ton of TV shows. He was in the movies Cider House Rules and Life, most recently in Tower Heist. I mean, he was working all the time as an actor. And getting back into music is being mentioned. And no word yet on the cause of death, but 44 years old, that's tragic.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any clues in his name that might lead us to understand why he died so young.
Look, Orson Welles lived to be in his 70s, you know. I mean, it's not all fat isn't always a death sentence, but obviously it doesn't help your health. So we'll have to wait and see what happened. Brett Ratner not having a good week.
No, he's not.
No.
Oh, my God.
He got in trouble for saying that he was banging Olivia Munn and then forgot who she is on the G4 attack of the show. Had to rescind that. Said, oh, no, I was just kidding. Yeah, okay. And then he, in an interview about his movie Tower Heist, was asked about rehearsals. And he said, no rehearsals. Rehearsing is for... And then he dropped the F-bomb as a slur against the gay people. Here's the thing. Brett Ratner was scheduled to be the producer of the upcoming Academy Awards. You really can't work in Hollywood, especially in a high-profile situation like the Oscars, and then take a slam at the gays and expect no backlash. And backlash, indeed, there was. He was removed as producer of the upcoming Academy Awards. Well, in all fairness, he has resigned as the producer.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that came at the strong suggestion of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
They allowed him to resign so he couldn't get fired.
Yeah. In the statement, he said, being asked to help put... on the Oscar show was the proudest moment of my career. But as painful as this may be for me, it would be worse if my association with the show were to be a distraction from the Academy and the high ideals it represents.
I wonder how Eddie Murphy feels about now hosting the Oscars when you feel like one of the reasons he was doing it is because he was going to work with his friend Brett Ratner.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine. Eddie's being allowed to bring on his own writing staff, and I'm sure they'll take care of him. And it's still a high-profile gig for him. So,
and there's no question Eddie will use the same word at some point during the Oscars.
No, I doubt that. I think there'll be an extra alert with a four-day delay button just to push that in case that should happen. But.
Yeah, the Oscars are going to happen on a Sunday. We won't see it until Monday to make sure Eddie Murphy's clean.
Brett Ratner is not a good director and sort of a blowhard. But I certainly don't think he meant any disrespect to the gay community by using that word in that context. I think what he meant to say is rehearsal is for cowards or wussies or something like that. And unfortunately, chose a bad word. But here's the thing. He's also responsible for what he says in public. So although part of me sympathizes with the fact that he probably didn't mean anything by it, you got to know what you're saying when you're in front of people, too. So everything comes at a price. Candy Spelling. Anyone familiar with who Candy Spelling is?
Oh, yeah.
That's the late Aaron Spelling's widow.
Right.
Aaron Tori Spelling's mom.
Yeah. Aaron Spelling was the guy who brought us Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place and Charlie's Angels and just made a metric ass full of money over the course of his career. And he passed away. His wife, Candy, survived. And she's enjoying spending her money, as you mentioned. Tori is their kid. But here's the thing that cheeses me off, and I just got back from Vegas, so I think this hurts particularly today, more so than it would any other day. She just hit her third giant super jackpot in Las Vegas playing slot machines.
What?
Yeah. A few weeks back, she was at the Bellagio playing slots and won a $90,000 jackpot.
Oh my God.
In 2007, she hit a $200,000 jackpot. And in 2008, $180,000 jackpot playing slot machines.
What does she play? Like $100 at a
I have no idea, but it's just not right. Who needs this money less than Candy Spelling does?
Didn't she sell that giant mansion she was living in for like $1 billion?
Yeah, $14 billion. Anyway, she doesn't need any of this.
I hate her so
Maybe
much.
Maybe she just enjoys gambling?
I guess, but you know, then just get one of those machines that,
like the rest of
that doesn't pay out. If you're just enjoying the gambling, just gamble, but you shouldn't be able to get any money out of it. Three big jackpots.
I wonder if Lisa's right that she does the $100 slots and can put in 1,000 $100 pieces in a row if she wants. It's nothing to her.
Yep.
Yeah. I wonder if she's more likely to win than we are.
But still is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
Talk show host Chelsea Handler and her boyfriend have split. He's hotel mogul Andre Balazs, whatever.
No idea.
Why wouldn't he want to date Chelsea Handler, Ralph?
I can't imagine. She is lovely and charming and funny. Oh, wait, no, she's none of those things. Apparently, they've been together for about a year, and then recently he said, wait a minute, I'm dating Chelsea Handler, and I'm a hotel mogul. So
what am I doing?
He has moved on. And more details are coming out about that Avril Lavigne fight outside the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel this week. Originally, on Monday, I reported that she got into a fight with another chick outside the hotel, and her boyfriend, Brody Jenner, tried to break things up, but ended up taking a bottle to the head. Now, Avril is claiming she was brutally attacked by 5 people. She tweeted about suffering a black eye, a bloody nose, hair ripped out, scratches, bruises, and cuts.
Jeez. Dude.
Saying her face is effed. And that violence is never the answer. Well, it isn't certainly for you. Like, learn how to take care of yourself, and then maybe it will be the answer. We'll have to wait and see. And Michael Lowen was officially charged yesterday with 4 misdemeanors for 2 different arrests regarding domestic violence.
God almighty.
He's got charges of domestic violence, violation of a domestic injunction, resisting arrest without violence, and violating a condition of pretrial release. If he's convicted on all these charges, he would be serving 4 years behind bars. The Lowen family is magical. Not since the Manson family, I think, have we seen a family as effed up as these people. Lindsay was also in news yesterday. She is being countersued by Pitbull. You may remember that Lindsay filed a defamation suit against Pitbull because he had lyrics in his single Give Me Everything that went, I got it locked up like Lindsay Lohan. She thought that was a reference to her being in jail. He claimed it was a street term for having it all together. Like when you're locked up, you got it all going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to believe.
Pitbull is now countersued, claiming that she messed up her own career, not him, and that his lyrics have nothing to do with the fact that she has been struggling. I don't know why he would have to sue to make that statement.
Yeah, I don't either. And by the way, she's fair game to make a comment about.
Yes, absolutely.
There's certainly no she can sue for anything, of course, but it's absurd that anyone that she would win or would be awarded anything because he said locked up like Lindsay Lohan. It's just ridiculous.
Bitches and their lawsuits, man.
I know, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. He's 60 years old today.
Lisa, does Lou have a comment today?
Me? You're asking me?
I am asking you.
Just do your Marley Matlin. Peppa of Salt and Peppa is 42 years old today. Scarface of Ghetto Boys is 41. Oh, I love Scarface.
Say hello to my little Ghetto Boys.
I don't think that's the same Scarface?
Nope.
Chris Jericho, the wrestler, is 41. Eric Dane of Grey's Anatomy is 39. Nick Lachey celebrates his 38th birthday. Cisco is 33. TV hostess Vanessa Minnillo is 31 years old. And actress Nikki Blonsky, who was in Hairspray. She turns 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KRQ. I'm not sure why. Usually not a good choice. We do have a brand-new Internet Roundup for you coming up later on today. Just yesterday, we had a brand-new Beans Death Corner. Lots of reasons to always go to KRock.com. We're putting new stuff up for you all the time. In fact, Chip just put up a post that I think you'll enjoy, Lisa May. Here's how it goes. The Detroit Lions traditionally play one of the big Thanksgiving NFL games every year. And this year's home game against the Green Bay Packers, they chose Nickelback as their halftime performer. A large number of people are upset because, as we all know, Nickelback blows. Despite their years of mediocrity, they still managed to sell records. However, one great American, Dennis Gutman, will not let this stand and has taken to his computer to protest this horrible entertainment choice. Mr. Gutman joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show from Detroit right now. Hey, Dennis, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Bean, thanks for having me. Doing well.
My pleasure, sir. You've got to be close to 50,000 signatures on your petition at change.org by now. Does that sound about right?
Yep, I just refreshed it a couple minutes ago. It was at 49,500, so I think we'll hit 50,000 a day.
Dennis, that is impressive.
It is. You'll hit 50,000 before the end of this interview, my friend, because we have your petition linked up at krock.com or kevinandbean.com for folks who want to get on the and stop this horror. How did it start? When was the announcement made and you found out that Nickelback was going to be playing in your city?
The NFL still hasn't officially announced it yet, but there was a leak or something, and the Oakland Press reported it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that, and I just was shocked. And I mean, I'm going to the game. I'm not going to be at home watching on TV. I don't have a mute button.
Right. Of course, in real life, I understand. But, I mean, most people would look at that and go, well, that sucks. I'm not going to watch that. But you decided to go the extra step and try to get your feelings heard. How come? Why was this so important to you?
I don't like hearing Nickelback, and I thought I wanted to see how much support I could get. I actually, I know Nickelback is pretty widely ridiculed on the internet already. Like, I didn't create all this hatred of Nickelback.
Oh, no, it was there.
No, certainly not. For folks who may not be aware, and I hate to do this to you, Dennis, because this is the last thing you want to hear this morning, but here's a taste of, I think this is one of Nickelback's biggest hits, and I think a lot of people will recognize this song even if they don't know who it is. Listen up.
When this is how you remind me of what I really am, this is how you remind me.
I tried to figure out what it is that's so annoying about them, and they kind of have that Creed factor where the guy doesn't just sound, it doesn't sound like he's singing passionately and honestly. It sounds like he's just a big tool up there singing. Is that the vibe you get, Dennis?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, since this thing started, a lot of people have contacted me and said, hey, these guys are really nice people. I mean, they stay after the shows, they shake hands with all their fans, and
well, you listen, they'll be fine either way, however this goes. You know,
yeah,
you're not hurting their career.
Their pockets are already lined.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've already sold 50 million albums or something crazy like that. Now, you also mentioned at change.org, Dennis, that part of your problem is that the game is nationally televised and that you're afraid the United States will associate Detroit with Nickelback. So is that your way of saying that, hey, there are so many great artists from Detroit and from the Michigan area that if they're going to have a national game there and they're going to have entertainment, why not, you know, put up an Eminem or put up a Bob Seger or put up somebody that you hometown folks are proud of?
Exactly. Detroit's just, it's Detroit Rock City. It's home of Motown. There's plenty of good music here. They could easily find some local talent to fill the slot.
Right. What do you think will happen? I'm sorry, go ahead, Dennis.
I was just going to say, and I think the Lions fans would rally around that more than they'd rally around a band like Nickelback.
And they're not even American, am I right?
Correct. They're Canadian.
See, we can't have that.
Nope.
What do you think is going to happen? You're going to be at the game, but what do you think is going to happen? I mean, do you think there will be a vocal contingent there trying to make some noise against Nickelback that day? I mean, your thing is so widely covered in Detroit. I imagine that most of the people going to the game will have at least heard of the controversy.
You know, I think that's pretty possible. I hope I hope the NFL hears them and takes the fans' input into consideration next time they're hearing a halftime show, if that's what ends up happening.
Some of the people who have put a comment on when they have supported your petition at change.org include Dave Mance, who says, "Why am I signing? It's good for the human race." Colin Robbins writes, "I probably won't even watch the game, but if I can help stop one Nickelback gig, I know I have done good work." Taylor Humphrey, "I imagine hell is nothing more than an endless Nickelback concert. That fear is what keeps me from doing bad things." I wonder if the band has heard about this yet. They have to have a Google alert on their own name, right? They must have heard this.
Yeah, I think they've likely heard about it. And, you know, I feel bad. I mean, I respect them. They've made plenty of album sales, plenty of loyal fans, but, you know, I just can't stand their music, and I don't think it represents Detroit well.
Understood. All right, last question for you, Dennis, and thank you for squeezing us in. I know how busy you are. You have had a considerably more fun season as a Lions fan this year than most years. You can't be happy about the Packers coming to town to ruin Thanksgiving, though, right?
Right. I mean, it should be a good game. I'm excited to go there and see it. The Lions are undefeated when I've gone to their games. I don't get to go to games often. I'm a broke college student, but every game I've been to so far, they've won, so hopefully they'll keep it up on Thanksgiving.
Hey, you should make sure that that information gets out there, because if the miracle happens and they beat the Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers, they're going to be paying for you to go to games. If you're that much of a good luck charm, dude, this could be a godsend for you.
Yeah, we don't want Nickelback in our Super Bowl highlight reel.
Good point. All right, you can see Dennis's petition at change.org. Easier for you instead might be to just go to kevinamine.com or krock.com and go ahead and sign up and help spread the word to the NFL. No Nickelback on Thanksgiving, please. Dennis, thanks so much for coming on, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the world-famous Kerouac at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, don't forget, entries now being submitted for Miss Double December 2012. Just talking to King about the first half dozen or so that have already come in. We got some pretty good contenders this year, Lisa. Ladies who want to wear the crown to be Miss Double December 2012, the entry form is available at krock.com or kevinamine.com. You have until next Friday, a week from Friday, to enter, send in some photos, fill out the questionnaire, and then we'll select the top 10 finalists, put them up at krock.com for our listeners to vote on. And then, of course, the new queen will be crowned on December 2nd at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. All those details at krock.com. It is the most wonderful time of the year, don't you know?
I know.
The best.
All right. If we were going to do the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices beer mug,
yeah.
I don't have the wheel in front of me. I believe you do. What are the possibilities of what it might be landing on here today?
Today we have Kittler, the cat that looks like Hitler.
Oh yes.
I've always wanted to talk to Kittler. What a tough straw that is to draw.
Yeah.
The poor kid.
Yeah. And then we have the dumpster diving hobo bear.
Okay. Yes.
The fossil eating worms.
Mm. All right. Nice.
Charlie, the crime fighting parrot. The cat with two faces. The boozing parrots. The albino cyclops shark. Boo, the cutest dog in the world. The Toledo flag stealing squirrel. The shun brown seal. And my personal favorite, the beer drinking goat.
Oh, of course.
Well, there's no way to tell where it might land on. Ladies and gentlemen, let's spin the wheel. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, very exciting. Go ahead and spin the wheel. Let's see who we're gonna be talking to today. I hope it's Kittler. Come on, Kittler.
I'm happy with that.
Oh, the boozing parrots.
What?
Yes! Boozing parrots. All right. Off we go to Australia, Lisa, where apparently Australia's Northern Territory has a tree there that has something that the parrots find irresistible, and it makes them drunk. They're bringing birds in by the dozens to veterinarians who are slumped over and drunk. Because they're depressed. They can't fly. They can't climb. They can't stand. And then they have to bring them back, you know, just like with people who are drunk.
Like give them IVs and all
that. Yes. Rehydration, food, and rest. So we asked producer Dave if he could line somebody up for us in Australia. I'm not sure we have on who we have from the story here. I believe we're talking to a hospital in Darwin, Australia, though. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this, please? Kevin and Bean Show calling from America.
This is Crackers.
Cracker's a parrot.
Crackers, are you one of the parrots that's being treated by veterinarians there as because you're drunk?
None of your effing business.
Yes, it sounds like that's a yes then.
Why you call somebody else? Who cares, mate?
Well, we're just.
Hold on a second.
What do you do?
Just a little beer in the morning, take the edge off.
Okay, I don't think the answer for you is more drink. I think maybe.
You know what the answer for you is?
What's that?
Fight me.
Man.
Oh, is that a girl?
Yes, that's Lisa. Works on the show.
How you doing, baby? Yeah.
Good.
You like birds? You like birds?
Sure, birds are fine.
Yeah, they're fine. I know. Yeah. Did you see my wingspan?
Oh, dear.
No, they say big wings, big beak.
I don't think that you need to drink
any. Shut up. I'm talking to the lady.
Oh, sorry. I'm just trying to figure out what happened with this.
What are you wearing, baby?
Okay.
Easy.
We wanted to know what it is you're eating that you're getting drunk.
There's a tree.
Yeah.
Right.
It's got nectar in it, and it gets fermented.
Oh, I see. Turning it into alcohol, basically. Right.
Yes. And it is the best tree in the world.
Well, it sounds sad when witnesses say that they find parrots clumped up, huddled in a corner at the bottom of one of the trees. It just sounds like not a fun way to start your day.
That's a mosh pit. They don't even know. They don't know anything about birds. They're people.
Right. But crackers, you're in the hospital for a little rest, for a little food, some rehydration, so that you can go out and be a parrot and actually enjoy your life again.
So I can go out and party again.
Oh, man.
Well, you may be missing the point of sobering up.
Hey. Hey.
Yes. What? Yes, crackers. Yes.
Hey, what comes before Part B? Party! Wow. Woo! That's right. Oh, I look at my plumage. Mm-hmm. I am a good-looking bird.
Yes, you are. I think you need to go lay down.
I'm talking to the woman.
All right, I'll butt out now. Sorry.
Don't be such a beak block.
Not trying to block your beak,
you
crackers.
You're blocking my beak.
Okay.
Step off, mate.
We're going to let you go and get some rest.
I'm going to let you go right
here. Okay. Bye, crackers. Thanks. You're listening to Ralph Famous K-Rock at 106.7 KRQ. Hey, we got more tickets for you to join us at the Red Carpet World Premiere with the stars of the new Twilight film. This is apparently a pretty big deal, Ralph Garman, this Twilight movie.
For some.
Kids have been waiting for this for a long time, and thank God right after this one's done, I think the next one comes out in like 2 weeks. Like, you virtually have to don't wait at all until you get a chance to see how the whole series wraps up, right?
Oh, I hope there's wolves.
Oh, wait. It's a whole year from now.
What?
The last part of the series comes out next Thanksgiving.
But they've
That's
already
right.
filmed it. But they filmed it already.
Yeah.
They better hope all the actors haven't died of old age by the time it airs next year. Anyway, we got your tickets you can win coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And speaking of movies, we'll talk to a blind film director coming up in about a half an hour or so. That's Brett Ratner, right? Is that who we're talking to?
No.
Based on his movies? Oh. Ralph, your obsession continues to delight me as well. Dr. Drew's Life Changers on the CW. I don't know why we were so late getting on the bandwagon of how fantastic this show is.
No one knew, I think. I think we just thought it was a regular show. We didn't realize.
I think at first it was, and then they ran out. So now it's fantastic.
Wow. Star-studded now.
So, like, the first 4 weeks, Lisa, on the CW, you think Dr. Drew was trying to do the good work that Dr. Drew does, and then they said, dude, we got to get some ratings. Seriously, get some fat people in here, get some porn stars in here.
Yeah.
And they had both of those yesterday. They have a half hour at 3 and then another half hour at 3:30. And the first one yesterday was obese people, the BBWs, who are huge internet stars, and they get paid to, like, eat on camera. So Dr. Drew had them on with their families trying to talk them out of that. And these women aren't just fat, by the way. These women are like 800-pound fat.
Oh. Yeah. Right. Bigger the better, baby.
And then Cheaters on Trial was episode number 2 at 3:30. And this is the one that caught our attention because Dr. Drew, who is one of the most respected physicians in the world, decides, no, I'm going to put on a robe, sit behind a desk, have a gavel, and become, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Drudy.
Judge Drudy.
All rise. Now entering is the Honorable Drew Pinsky.
Yeah, you're right. Judge Drudy,
Judge
I guess is
Drudy.
What they're calling him. And that's his sassy black bailiff in the courtroom, Lonnie Love, who I guess is some sort of a comedian. So.
Making a sitcom.
Let's find out what the case was in front of the good judge yesterday.
Cheaters beware. There's a new unbelievable website that's putting your private affairs in the public eye. Cheaterville is a new site founded by James McGibney that allows scorned lovers to post whatever they want about the people they think are cheating on them.
Okay, now, first of all, not Jerry Springer we're going through here. This is Dr. Drew Pinsky and his program. Doesn't Cheaterville sound like the kind of website that Dr. Drew would hate?
Yes.
Like he would rail against it as being irresponsible. How can you just let people put whatever they want, photos and phone numbers and email addresses?
Without some vetting process or some way to find out if it's true or not.
Exactly. Instead, Dr. Drew is using the Cheaterville website as a way to funnel people into his courtroom as Judge Drudy.
From photos to stories, even pictures of who they think their partner is having an affair with, nothing is off limits. The only way for the accused to get their information taken off the site is to take the case to Cheater's Court.
Okay, let me make sure I understand. So if I post something on Cheaterville, Ralph, the only way that I can get it taken down is if I go in front of Dr. Drew playing a judge and get a ruling in my favor, and then it can be taken down off the site?
I must embarrass myself publicly on national television before I can get someone to take a lie off the internet about me.
I don't understand how
this show.
How is this the process by which you can get stuff taken off the internet? Come on, in front of Drew. Dr. Drew.
Come on.
What's happening here?
Oh.
Today, it's up to you to decide who's not guilty and who's a cheater.
Judge hears the case, but actually it's Judge Drudy's studio audience.
Oh,
that will
I have
decide.
To put my life in their hands now?
Yes. They're These the Yahoos? Ones who will decide. Yes, exactly.
I don't even watch the People's Choice Awards when it's about television shows, let alone people deciding whether I'm guilty or not.
Well, let's meet the porn stars that Judge Drudy had on the program yesterday and find out what their problem is.
I'm here because my girlfriend's in the porn business. To me, when you lie about that, that's certainly cheating. I'm here to prove it.
Please welcome Randy.
Now, who is Randy? Ralph, you said you had familiarity
with Randy Spears, legendary male porn star who has been in the business for many, many years and has quite a body of work behind him.
Is he saying that his girlfriend lied about being in the porn business?
I didn't see the episode. I'll have to wait for Judge Drudy to dig deeper into the story and find out what's going on.
So I'm not sure I understand your case. Kehlani's your girlfriend?
Well, Judge Drudy, Kehlani is my girlfriend. She's in the adult film business. I was in the adult film business.
Yes, I know your work quite well.
Okay, all right, hold on here.
No, you didn't.
There's your sassy black bailiff.
This is a sitcom. He's a judge. She's a bailiff. They live next door to each other, but chaos ensues on Judge Drudy.
It's an incredibly thin premise, Lisa, to answer your question. He, of course, has been dating her for a long time. He knows that she's also an adult film star. But what he's complaining about, and the reason he's in front of the judge, is that she doesn't tell him sometimes when she's going to work. She's not honest about, hey, I'm off to film a movie today. She doesn't tell him that because she doesn't want to upset him, as she'll explain as we meet Leilani.
All right, hold on a second. This is getting complicated already. Kehlani has a different version than Randy's, so let's take a look at this.
My boyfriend thinks that I'm cheating on him, and I'm here to prove that I am not.
All right, everybody, please welcome Kehlani to the show.
Hey, I know her, too!
That's Kehlani Reed. She's another porn star.
Yes, she certainly is. So the entire basis of the show is that at sometimes Kehlani says, hey, I'm going out tonight, but doesn't mention that she's going. It doesn't matter that she's going and she's having sex with a dude and then coming back home. That's not what Randy's problem is. Yeah. Randy's problem is there's a lack of honesty and transparency in their relationship, Ralph, and that's what he's in front of the judge about.
He knows how it works, though. He's been doing porn movies for 20 years.
Yes, he does. He knows how it works.
I don't understand the problem.
I don't understand the problem either. This whole show is weird. Well, let's dive deeper into the show with the judge.
I guess it really started when I called her up one Friday afternoon and I said, hey, what are you doing tonight? And she said, I'm going out with my girlfriends. Well, Kehlani's not the kind of person that absolutely lies to me. She did go out with her girlfriends, but she went to work first. She's left that out. And then I found out about that later, that she was going to work, and I started thinking, well, no, why wouldn't she tell me she was going to work?
Is this the thinnest premise ever for a problem to bring before a judge?
She's cheating him because she went to work. That's what he's saying, basically. It's like,
yes.
It's like I'm going to stop by the office and do some filing. Oh, cheater! You're filing without telling me. And that's exactly it.
Kehlani, why?
Because.
Why you didn't tell her?
She's got a gun, too. I know. It's been really hard because he's not in it anymore. We're still together, but I'm still in it. So, but that's my choice. He's okay with that.
Yeah.
But
I think did you have to hide that from him?
I don't know, because I don't have to hide it from you.
Why did you?
I don't have to hide it from him.
Why did you?
It's hard to say it. It's like kind of like, I don't know, when somebody quits drinking and you're still having a glass of wine, you don't want to have a glass of wine in front of them.
Okay, but isn't he going to be able to tell when you get home that you're wrecked?
How dare you, sir?
You know what I'm saying?
She's a delicate young flower.
It's not a surprise. Well, thank God it's only a half-hour show, and we do draw to a close and find out what happens.
He knows what I do for a living. He knows that I have to work. When the week has come, obviously, in there a couple days, I've worked.
And you don't tell him?
And I come home to him. He's who I'm with only. He's who...
Are you saying, just so I understand your closing statement, that you are not going to change? You're not willing to be more honest with him about going out working?
Yes. I'm hoping, yes. If that's going to make this work, then of course, and make him feel better, yes. But in return, I don't want to be like, you know, I don't know, looked at if I want to be able to comfortably and openly say, yes, I'm going to work.
This is pretty riveting television, by the way.
Wow, what a waste of an hour.
I love them all.
All right, it's time to find out what the audience's verdict is. So, guys, go underneath your seat, grab your Padgett gadget. It's this device where you can
vote. Grab my gadget right now.
All right, do you think that by lying to Randy, Kehlani is cheating on him? That is the question we're here to answer. Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. So if you think she has been lying to Randy, cheating, that the lying has been cheating, press 1.
By the way, poor Drew. You can just tell he just is hoping the camera's
on. I don't understand. Press 1. Say the name of the movie you're looking for. I'm confused. I don't know the problem. I don't know what the question means, and I don't know how to answer it. That's what the audience is saying to Drew right now.
He sounds so sad. Poor Dr. Drew, you know he's thinking, I went to medical school. Seriously, I have a show on CNN. What's happening? Why? This is happening. Well, the audience eventually, I think, I'm not sure, but I think they eventually decided that Kehlani wasn't cheating and Randy lost the case and everybody's going to live happily ever after.
No, they're not. Least of all, Drew.
A lot of people in the audience look.
Talk to a blind film director coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show just after the top of the hour. You're listening to the world famous K-Rock. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the show. Biz Beat, what's going on?
Sad news. Found out today that rapper and actor Heavy D has died. It's just something just strips away a man's dignity when you play that after you announce he's died.
Well, you know how he feels about
death. Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying that's sad. That's not sad.
You lost at a game show music. That's not you lost your life music.
One of our listeners wanted to know if the D in Heavy D stood for diabetes, possibly.
Probably.
Wow.
Can a
body not even get cold anymore with you people?
He's just asking.
Heavy D and the Boys, of course, was the band that scored a bunch of big hits in the 90s, including Now That We Found Love. Stretch it, flex it, flex it. Give me the permission, okie dokie, I bless it. Bless it like Buddha, Buddha as the best. We can lay down at the level, put your head on my chest. Oh, I feel like doing a giant line and get down on the dance floor when I hear that music. He worked with Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, along with many other artists. He also wrote and performed the theme song for TV shows like Living Color. Remember that?
Sure.
To be in Living Color. That was him. He was an actor. He was in the Cider House Rules.
He was good in that, too. Life. I remember him in that.
Yeah. He's had a recurring role in Boston Public. He was recently in Tower Heist, has done a bunch of films. Mm-hmm. 44 years old. Rushed to the hospital yesterday. An hour later, he was pronounced dead, so...
One of his very last tweets was R.I.P. Smokin' Joe Frazier, by the way.
Wow.
Which is weird because he just died Monday, and then Heavy D tweets that, oh, so sad to see Joe Frazier gone, and then he himself is dying on Tuesday. It's just crazy.
Heard the final bell himself. And another sad story today. Hollywood legend, a guy named Hal Kantner passed away at the age of 92. Just announced today. This guy had quite the resume. Started off working in radio. Wrote for Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. Directed and wrote Elvis Presley's first hit movie, Loving You. Created sitcoms like Julia about the black nurse that changed the face of television. Was a producer on All in the Family. Wrote for Martin and Lewis. Produced the Oscars for about a dozen different years in a row. Directed movies, TV shows, wrote movies and TV shows. Was just a remarkably funny, nice guy. And Hal Cantler was the guy who gave me my first acting gig in Los Angeles.
No kidding.
First guy to hire me when I moved to L.A. And he was a sweetheart of a man and was very kind to me. And I was sad to hear about his passing today at 92. But still, that's as my buddy Kevin Smith would say, a big bucket of wind. That's 92 really good years and quite a career. So congratulations. And he will be missed. Sad news about Jim Belushi. He's got gout, which I always thought was a funny disease. I thought, like, you'd see, like, the people in the 1800s in powdered wigs getting the gout and being rolled around in, like, an old-timey wheelchair.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what it is exactly.
I never did either. I always heard it came from, like, eating rich foods and stuff. That's what I always believed. But apparently it comes from uric acid collecting in your joints and crystallizing. And it's remarkably painful, apparently.
Wow.
The only reference to gout that I think I've heard in years before this story, Ralph, was, isn't that what Jared Leto got when he lost... Lost or gained all that weight for a movie role, remember?
Yeah.
When he was playing John Hinckley or somebody, or Mark David Chapman or one of those guys?
Yeah, Mark David Chapman, I think.
And he got gout from that, I heard. It was very serious.
Jim Belushi apparently stars in a new ad campaign for Check Out Your Gout. That's a bad slogan.
Gout. Where do I look?
Gout Association.
Yeah, where in my body do I check out my gout?
He encourages fellow sufferers to discover the real facts about gout. Don't be all gouty, he suggests. No, he didn't say that. But apparently gout's a serious thing. It's not just a funny disease anymore. So you have to see a rheumatologist, and they have to give you like treatment to kind of keep it under control. But apparently it's excruciatingly painful.
Really? And it's not something you control with diet and
no, I think
drinking lots of water and stuff
I think you have to
like
do
that?
With medication. Maybe changing your diet would help. But I don't know. Lisa, check out your gout. Find out yourself.
All right. I'm going to do that in the bathroom
later. Check out your gout.
I will look at it for you if you can't reach it. Lisa. I'll be happy to do that.
Okay.
And Julie Taymor.
Yes.
One of the creators of Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark is suing the producers of the Broadway musical. You may remember that production was fraught with difficulties, problems, deaths, injuries, bad reviews.
Is it still on?
It is back on. It is still on Broadway and now apparently doing very well. Lisa, apparently it's making a lot of money. They made a bunch of changes. They changed a lot of the music and a lot of the book. She co-wrote the script for the musical and was the original director until she was fired in March because of all the delays and accidents and poor reviews. Now it's been reworked and it is up on stage and doing very well for itself. And now that it's making money, she is suing the producers, saying that her creative rights were violated. And she's owed money for her contributions to the now very successful show. So, wait and see how that pans out. Bitches and their lawsuits, man. Bitches and their lawsuits.
A lot of that going around.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Lou Ferrigno. He's the Hulk.
Happy birthday to me.
Isn't he? Didn't you announce, Ralph, that he's a contestant on the next Celebrity Apprentice?
I believe he is, yes.
Can't wait.
60 years old today. He's a good-looking 60. I mean, the guy keeps up with his workout regime because he's very impressive. Peppa of Salt and Peppa is 42 years old. Scarface of Ghetto Boys turns 41. Chris Jericho, the wrestler, is 41. Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy is 39.
He's McSteamy or McLicky or something,
no,
right?
You got it, McSteamy.
He's McGouty, I think. He's got the gout on.
Oh, man.
Sure. Nick Lachey is 38. Cisco is 33. Vanessa Manillo is 31 years old. And actress Nikki Blonsky from Hairspray turns 23. And my wife, my lovely wife, Carrie Garnett, celebrates her birthday today. In case she's listening, I doubt she is. She does not care for me or this show very much. But I wanted to wish her a happy birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
World famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, all week long giving you a pair of one-day passes for Disneyland Resort Park Hopper. That is both parks, Disneyland and the California Adventure. You know, the holidays are a time for memories, Ralph, is what I hear.
Oh, hell yeah.
And there's nothing like holidays at Disneyland happening now through January 8th. We have those you can win coming up. Plus, you can go to krock.com for another chance to win. How did you find our next guest? Ralph, you're the one who brought this to our attention. What do you know about our man, Joe?
Joe found me and my partner, Kevin Smith. We do a weekly show called The Hollywood Babylon together. And I was doing the story I read about a blind movie director working on his film and in needing of finance to complete the film, and he was going to Kickstarter or one of those kind of sites to get some financing. So Kevin and I covered the story, and we made some blind director jokes. And Joe,
like you do,
like we do, we crack wise on that show. And Joe Monks heard about it, and responded to us and contacted us. And so we gave out the information for the Kickstarter account, and we also donated some money towards financing the film. And I believe we were helpful in getting the final financing to get the movie edited, put together, and finished.
Well, let's find out. The writer and director of the film, The Bunker, now being shown as part of the American Film Market in Santa Monica, is on the phone with us right now, director Joe Monks. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks much, man. And, Ralph and Kevin put us over the top there. don't short sell it. Thanks, man.
Oh, it was our pleasure. It was glad we could work it out, certainly after you were such a good sport about us taking a few shots at you, so we appreciate it.
But that was from guilt, though, Ralph. I mean, that's the only reason you guys wrote a check, is because you felt bad about saying things that then Joe ended up hearing.
Guilty
right?
money spends exactly the same as not guilty money, it turns out.
So, Joe, how do you know?
Here we go, you're going to have to write a big check.
When we say that you're a blind director, we don't mean blind like Michael Bay, where it looks like you have no idea what's going on the screen. We mean literally you can't see a thing, right?
Blind, 100% lights out. There's no vision here whatsoever.
Okay. What's your story? You weren't born that way, right?
No. I'm a long-term diabetic from childhood, and back in 2002, it finally took my retinas. Condition called retinopathy. It's essentially just the death of the retinas.
And you were already interested in movies, making movies maybe even back then?
I had been. I wasn't looking towards directing or anything like that, but I wound up getting hooked up to write a screenplay for a TV pilot that got picked up. The series didn't get produced, but the episode did. It's actually been picked up twice now.
Wow.
So I wrote a follow-up. You know, we expected, you know, if we get a series, we wanted to have more episodes. So I wrote the second one, and that's what eventually turned into The Bunker.
How about that? You know, I guess having had sight most of your life obviously gives you, I mean, you understand what's being asked of people, and you understand what scenes look like and sets look like and characters look like and everything. I mean, you have all the tools kind of in your memory that you need in order to be able to direct a scene, right?
Sure, and I used to be a photographer as well, so I could really talk to people on. I could talk to my DP and say, "Listen, I want this frame, like a three shot, like the Indianapolis scene in Jaws, and I want this depth of field." And you know, I could give it. I'll tell you, I worked on the storyboards for the film.
Wow, that's amazing.
That sounds
How about
odd, that? But I used to work in comic book field, and comics are in a lot of ways like a storyboard for a film. And I could never draw even when I could see, so my stick figures didn't really get much worse than I wanted.
So, Joe, what's the process on the set for you? Is that it? Just you communicating with the director of photography and having him sort of fulfill your vision as you describe it to him?
You know, it starts there, but really what it is, I mean, even on this feature, it's low budget, it's micro budget, indie feature and stuff. I built the sets. Okay, so the power tools and everything, I built the set, so I knew pretty much every inch of every scene where we'd be shooting. And I'd walk through the blocking with my talent, and, you know, I'd go over it with the DP, and I'd say, listen, this is what I want, and I'd use, you know, film examples from the, memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, you know, let's do it this way. And I tell people what I wanted on the frame. And it's, in some ways, it's not much different from doing a comic book where you hand it over to an artist who can really draw.
Right.
And you know, you try to get back. And I was doing that for like 20 years before I lost the sight. So, you know, that kind of process, I can't 100%, you know, guarantee that I got exactly it the way I would have expected if I was, you know, sight director. But, I mean, you got to trust. Movie making is a team effort. You've got to trust people to deliver performances. And that always comes down to, like, eventually you have to trust somebody else besides just yourself.
It is a team effort, Joe. And couldn't you have found someone on the team to build the sets besides the blind guy?
I'm good at it. with the tools beforehand, I'm good now.
All right.
We are talking to writer-director of a film called The Bunker. His name is Joe Monks, joemonks.com. You can also go to sightunseen.com. And it is, as I mentioned when I brought you on, Joe, it's showing this week, I guess, in Santa Monica at this American Film Market. But is this one of those deals where you show the movie and hope that it gets picked up and distributed more widely?
Well, yeah. The market's primarily for, you know, American distributors to sell overseas, but we've been talking to a lot of them, and you know, we've gotten a number of meetings simply on the basis of, you know, we've got something. I met Frank Darabont a number of years ago, and I told him I was going to do this, and he was like, "Wow, that's like the single greatest marketing hook I've ever heard. I mean, I'd like, you're doing something that's never been done before." And, like, the example he brought up was Lucas doing that first Star Wars sequel, prequel, whatever it was, all digital. He was like, as if George needed the press, you know, to do something that hadn't been done before. But the other thing was, he goes, who's going to compete with you for this angle?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
right?
There aren't many blind directors out there.
Ralph,
yeah,
we have to. We have to send Joe's movie to our friend that we talked to, who's the blind movie critic. Right? We've got to. We've got to get him to watch this movie and
it's
review
a perfect
it.
Perfect storm. Absolutely.
I think we have.
Yeah, he's in part also. Yeah, he's in part also. Well, we haven't crossed paths yet. Unfortunately, he wasn't at the. I was at the Gasparilla Film Festival in February. I got their Achievement in Cinema Award there, and we were hoping that that he'd come down. But he had. I think he was booked on the Tonight Show that week.
How That's about wild. That? Well, you don't know that you crossed paths tonight. No. He could be behind you right now, Joe.
Here
Let's
we
face
go.
It.
Here we go again.
All right. So the movie is called The Bunker. What's next for you after this, regardless of how successful or not The Bunker is? I mean, is this something you've, you know, it's got your hooks in you now and you want to continue to make more movies, Joe?
Yeah, we met with a producer yesterday who's here who likes the story, likes the angle, obviously, and they have, you know, more money than I did on this first one, and you know we're pitching a couple of screenplay concepts there, and I do have an option out with a company in New York for a horror film called Visions of Sarah. So we're hoping that one of the other of those two projects gets into development early this year.
Gotcha.
Well, Joe, we hope The Bunker finds its distribution, because I know Smith and I were talking about it just recently. We really would like to see it. So either on DVD or on demand now, which is a great venue, or in the theater someplace, we hope to be able to see The Bunker soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, you know, we can get screeners coming your way and stuff. And tell Smith he's got to get off his butt and stuff. He needs to send us some T-shirt sizes. We got some swag to send you guys' way.
All right. Fair enough. We'll be in touch, Joe.
JoeMonks.com, sightunseen.com, where you can follow Joe on Twitter at Joseph Monks. Great to have you on the show, sir. Thanks for coming on. Bye-bye. A lot of show coming up here today on the Kevin and Bean program from the world-famous K-Rock, including guys who text or send or email naked photos to their chicks and how that can go horribly wrong. That's next hour, plus tickets for Twilight, the premiere on the red carpet with the stars. Right now, though, how about a brand new Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Live so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
He's not only the king of Mexico, ladies and gentlemen. He is the king of the Internet Roundup at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Dave, the king of Mexico, joins us in studio. Hey, Dave, how are you?
What up, man? How's it going?
I know you love pandas so much. Pandas are your favorite thing in the whole wide world. Tell me about this video. We're not going to play audio from it, because you got to see it. But tell me about this video of the panda peeing on the other panda. What's up with that?
I swear, it's just like us. You know, if someone passes out, this other panda walks over on a tree and just pees on it.
No.
It's awful.
And the panda has its mouth open, and the panda gets up and is like, what's going on? And then realizes he's getting peed on and just looks, oh, man, I got peed on.
It's so sad.
It really is.
And the people at the zoo who are watching it are just laughing like it's the funniest thing they ever saw. And I just want to help. I just want to dry off that poor panda with a little towel and send it back to bed. I'm just so sad.
I agree with the guy filming. I would have been crying.
Also, there's a video of a guy who's doing, I guess, some of those big storms they've had out in the Northeast. There's a television reporter who's doing a stand-up in front of somebody's house, and the guy is chainsawing a tree and somehow loses his footing. Lisa, you're not going to believe this. The guy falls forward. The chainsaw is maybe 3 inches from his face as he's falling to the ground.
Oh, dear God.
But doesn't get hurt.
And doesn't have a reaction. He's like, whatever.
I know. Like, I would just be sitting there like thanking Jesus at that point that I didn't lose a head. Anyway, those are some of the videos without audio. Now let's talk about the ones that you're going to enjoy listening to on the radio. You can see them all at kevinandbean.com or krock.com on the Internet Roundup. This one is hilarious. I don't know what the original problem was, but she's fat. Not that that's important, but it does make the video funnier. She's driving a Prius, and she pulls up to a family that is in a truck, in a parking lot, like at a Walmart or something like that, and they are idling. And is her complaint, Dave, that they're wasting gas by
The exhaust is going into where she was parked at, which wasn't a parking spot, by the way. It was just she just put her car there.
And what's fascinating about it is if most people were in this situation, I don't know, they'd just move their car to a different parking space. But no, she gets out and gets in these people's faces, and they were rolling tape, and it's hilarious.
Where's your exhaust pipe? The wind is blowing in this direction.
They rolled your windows.
Why is the goddamn car on?
Because my daughter is in here, and I got the air
blowing. Your own windows down. What's the matter with you? You got to make that much pollution? Is it your right?
Look, you're making all Prius owners look like jackholes, lady, all right?
Well, they are.
Get back! How dare you get back in your stupid electric car and drive away? Here's a goat who surprisingly speaks English, but only one word. Listen up.
I don't know, dude.
That's
a goat?
Yes, that's a goat. And they can't stop talking to this goat who just says, "What?"
It's
like the Kevin
like
and Bean robots,
Kevin.
It does, yeah. Here's another guy who I just am so deeply in love with. I guess there's a television camera on the scene, and they're filming this guy getting a traffic ticket, and he is furious. But he's not. Look, he's upset about getting a traffic ticket from the cops. He's really upset by apparently by the fat guy behind the camera for the television station, and he will not shut up about it.
All right, you can give me a ticket.
Thank you.
Okay.
Badass.
All right.
So this is for Crime 4 news?
It's for people behaving badly on Channel 4.
What about people overeating on Channel 4? Badass. How about that?
Thank you, sir.
1-800-GET-THIN, chubby butt.
Have a good day.
You too, badass.
Oh, my God.
He's like the new Anton Dodson. I love him so much.
I love that guy.
Harold and Kumar, as you know, have a big Christmas movie in theaters right now, and they put a viral video together to promote it, I guess. It's actually very funny. You see the guys in, all the traditional Christmas scenes. They're wearing their smoking jackets in front of the fireplace with the Christmas tree, and they're singing some of your favorite holiday songs.
This joint is really big, man.
This is a song about my bong. Who touched my bong? Don't touch my bong.
So it's Harold and Kumar basically massacring every Christmas song you ever love by inserting poop and pot into it. So.
I love it.
If that's your sort of thing, you'll enjoy this very much in the Internet Roundup. Here's the video that we were talking about yesterday. Ralph brought up in the Showbiz Beat. SNL has just been killing it with their coverage of the Kardashians. And they have three cast members on SNL who play the three sisters in the Kardashian family. And they're promoting their new special, according to SNL, The Fairy Tale Divorce.
It's been really hard. All week, we've just been crying and crying and posing and crying and getting our anuses bleached.
If you get two, the third anus is free.
I get the free one.
By the way, the real Chloe was asked about the SNL thing, and she said, hey, I thought it was funny. If you can't laugh at yourself, what are you doing? You know, so I was a little bit impressed that she wasn't pissed off about that, because she does not look good in this sketch on SNL. Greatest mustache moments is up next on the Internet Roundup. Dave, what's the story with Movember? They're really pushing Movember this year.
Yeah, I guess it's something about, like, grow your mustache for cancer or something. I have no idea. I think it's pretty dumb. But
it's not for me, but then I can't grow a beard anyway, so maybe I'm the wrong audience. But here's a video they put together of the greatest mustache moments in history.
Hulk Hogan, Mean Gene, Jake the Snake. They had real mustaches, but their wrestling was fake. Captain Hook, Captain Crunch, and Captain Kangaroo. Captain Planet didn't have one, but that idiot was blue. Ron Burgundy's Plastic Al, Sexy, Star Power Stud, Neil Tyson Degrassi, Borat's wasn't real, Dali's surreal, Dale Earnhardt rocked one at the wheel.
There's maybe more about facial hair than you'll ever want to know included in that one little video. And our last two clips today on the Kevin and Bean the Internet Roundup both come courtesy of our friend Jimmy Kimmel on Jimmy Kimmel Live on ABC. His man Jake Bird, who's out in front of every high-profile trial, did a bang-up job at the Conrad Murray trial. Here's a little bit of him on the scene as the verdict was announced.
You know, this is not like a joke. It may be...
If it was a joke, we'd say, why did the banana go to Dr. Conrad Murray?
I mean,
because he wasn't peeling well.
I mean,
that's a joke.
Right.
But why did the cow go to Conrad Murray? Because he couldn't move his bowels. But this is not a joke. I'll tell you what, officer, between this and the McRib being re-released, what a week, huh? He'll never kill Michael Jackson again!
Jake Bird is the bravest man on television. I mean, he goes in front of every camera down there, interrupts every interview down there. They have to hate it when they see him coming for their trials. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
And finally, as we like to close every week on the Internet Roundup, Jimmy does This Week in Unnecessary Censorship, where he beeps things that don't need to be beeped to make you think that the news and TV that you and your kids are watching is always filthy.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Justin Bieber are denying a report that Bieber a child.
How you doing up
Welcome
here?
To country.
Comes from a drilling technique known as
if she could that and call that sexual harassment, fine.
Saying something that might get broken if a wife catches her husband cheating.
His
You can see all of these on the Internet Roundup and all the Internet Roundups we've ever done available for you 24/7 at krock.com.
Kevin and Bane, Internet Roundup.
Thanks for listening to the world famous KROQ at 106.7 KROQ. You can go to kevinandbane.com or krock.com right now. Ladies, if you'd like to apply to be Miss Double December 2012, you can apply now. We got a brief questionnaire for you. We ask you to upload a couple of photos for yourself. You have until a week from Friday to get your entries in. Then the KROQ listeners will decide who goes into the top 10. And then the pageant this year is going to be December 2nd in Fullerton. We're back with our friends at the Slide Bar. So come on down. Be Miss Double December 2012. All the details available at krock.com. Here's a name, Lisa.
Yes.
I guarantee you haven't thought about in a long time. Chris Angel.
Oh, wow.
Remember him? The douchebag musician? He signed a multi-$100 million deal in Las Vegas. Apparently, he's doing a huge, like, a gangbuster show there, selling out every night, just big business.
Didn't he have those ridiculous specials on TV?
Yes. Too? He was the guy who had those ridiculous specials. He used to do some pretty good street magic, but now he's got the big Las Vegas show, and as if that's not making enough money, he is also selling the Chris Angel Mind Freak Platinum Magic Kit. Let's hear as much of this commercial as we can stand.
Chris Angel has amazed millions with the most successful magic series in the history of television. Mind Freak. Chris has been named Magician of the Century, and now he will teach you some of his greatest secrets. Introducing the award-winning Chris Angel Platinum Magic Kit with over 250 incredible illusions that will amaze.
Thinking of a number?
21.
What?
That's fine. That's fine. Thank you very much. Everything about this guy just screams douchebag with his bandanas and his jewelry and his Ed Hardy t-shirts. But now he's selling a $30 magic kit. What does he need with that? Chris, what are you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're fine, but I don't understand why you're involved in such a low-rent project as selling a box of magic to kids for $30 when you've got hundreds of millions of dollars.
First thing I want to say is it's great to be on your program, because when my father was still alive, we'd get together, we'd listen to your show every
I know,
week.
Yes.
It was a very great moment for us to share together before he passed.
Yeah.
You
always have to bring up your dad and the things that you used to do together. We've moved on from that, Chris. What's going on with you selling the magic kit?
The Chris Angel Mind Freak Platinum Magic Kit is an amazing collection of over 250 mind freaks that you can do for your friends and family that will ultimately amaze and entertain them for just two payments of $14.99 with shipping and handling.
Mm-hmm.
Mind Freak.
Right, okay. But just saying Mind Freak isn't a Mind Freak, that doesn't do anything. It's just you with sound effects saying a word, Chris.
If you own this kit, if you own the Chris Angel Mind Freak Platinum Magic Kit for two simple payments of $24.99 plus shipping and handling, you will be able to Mind Freak your friends. Their freaking minds will be so freaked, they'll be freaking.
Okay, so you give a DVD and then a couple of packs of playing cards, yet you claim it's over a $200 value.
Yes, there's over 250 Mind Freaks in here, all just for $34.99. Two simple payments of $34.99.
Okay, the price keeps going up. It was $14.99 for two payments, then $24, now $34.99.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. I meant $44.99.
No. It's $14.99 a month for two payments. So it's basically $30 plus shipping and handling.
$54.99 plus shipping and handling, absolutely. And you will be able to perform such tricks that I've made famous on the stage that people spend... They come from all over the world to come see me perform these magic tricks on stage. You'll be able to reproduce them in your own home.
So if I pay this money and order the Chris Angel Mind Freak Platinum Magic Kit.
Just $64.99. Two simple payments of $64.99.
Then I can have Lisa think of a number and then I can tell her what that number is? That's how that works?
Absolutely. Lisa?
Yes.
Think of a number.
Okay.
Is it 7?
No.
Yeah, Mind Freak.
What does that even mean?
One of my other tricks you'll be able to do is disappearing flaming tissue, where I take a simple, ordinary household a tissue, and I take a lighter to it, and I light the tissue on fire, and I throw it in the air, and the tissue disappears. Mind Freak.
Doesn't it just burn up?
That's why it's
disappears.
Not a
It disappears.
Right, but if you put it in the fire, paper is just going to vanish, and there won't be anything left.
Then I do a trick that you can do called the M&M of Death, where I take an M&M, I put it in my tongue, I show it to you, you see it, it's in my mouth, I close my mouth, I open it again, it is gone. The M&M is gone. Mind Freak.
The M&M
isn't that just you eating an M&M?
Listen, who's the magician of the century here? You or me?
Well, you have been called the magician of the century.
But I have another trick called Where's the Bubble, where for an additional $99.99 plus shipping and handling, I give you a special jar of the Chris Angel Mind Freak Bubble liquid. You take a wand, you pull out the wand, you blow into it, a magic bubble appears, and then I touch the bubble, it disappears. Mind Freak.
Okay, but that's just a bubble that kids play with. You can do that with dishwashing soap.
I mean, there's hockey fans. There's the hat trick where I comb my hair, I make it look very nice, then I put on my beanie, I take off the beanie, my hair is then messed up. Mind freak.
None of these are even
mind
tricks.
Freak.
These are things people can do now without spending the money for the kit.
Another trick called Card Shark, where I take a playing card out of a deck of 52. I tear it up into small pieces. I stick it in my mouth. I appear to swallow it. When you go back to that card deck of 52 cards, there's only 51 cards. One is missing. Mind Freak.
But that's because you took one of the cards out and ate it, Chris Angel.
Mind Freak.
Hey, Ralph Garman on the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous camera.
Yeah.
You were talking about Jim Belushi doing his ads for gout?
Yes, yes. He's got the gout.
We've heard from so many listeners who have the gout.
I know. I was shocked, too.
It was an epidemic out there.
I've been reading reams and reams of emails from gout sufferers suggesting everything from black cherry juice to just changing your diet, and apparently it'll clear up the gout.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently it is something that you can recover from and you can manage, I guess, with some home remedies and a change in your diet. But I guess we wouldn't be talking about gout if Jim Belushi hadn't come out and started talking about it first doing his commercial. So I guess he's getting the message out there, right?
Check out the gout.
Check out the gout.
That's what we say.
All right, time for a look at the other things going on in the showbiz world. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do want to give a quick shout out to the greatest breakfast meat in the world. November the 9th is National Scrapple Day. So yay! I did want to give a shout out to all my fellow Scrapple aficionados.
Okay, what is Scrapple again?
Lisa, Scrapple is the greatest breakfast meat there is. Scrapple is when they take, they take a pig, right? And then you get your pork chops out of it, and you get your hot dogs out of it, and you get all your pork products out of it.
Yes.
Your sausage and your bacon and all the stuff that's good,
right.
that makes sense
all the stuff
to eat on
that's
a pig.
Easy.
And then what's left.
Who's telling a story here? And then whatever the scraps of pork that are left over, you take that. You take the scraps, and you grind them up, and then you add cornmeal and spices, and then you take that mixture and you form it into a solid loaf. And then you slices off the loaf and you pan fry it. And it is the greatest breakfast meat you've ever had in your life. It is
ain't going to happen.
It is Scrapple.
There's nothing
ain't
going
to happen.
Meat that you grind up and then form into a solid loaf.
Listen,
that is always
you don't
good.
Understand. First of all, Scrapple is arguably the first pork food product invented in America. It was created more than 200 years ago by Dutch colonists in Philadelphia.
It couldn't have been created before sausage and bacon.
The first pork food invented in America. Listen to what I'm saying.
Right, but it's like,
all those other things came from other countries. In America, we came up with Scrapple. It is uniquely American.
Because we were poor and we had to take the hooves and the nose and whatever was left and try to eat it, right?
First of all, no, actually, I've said that first. Third of all, it is the greatest breakfast food that there is. And so today is National Scrapple Day, so I did want to give a shout out to all my fellow Scrapple fans out there because...
Ain't gonna happen.
We're celebrating. Have you ever had Scrapple, Bean?
Of course not.
Well, then you don't know how delicious Scrapple is. All right, tomorrow I'm bringing in a big plate of Scrapple for everybody. We're going to have a little Scrapple breakfast.
All right, I just want to say, we have to move on, but I just want to say, tomorrow, when you're bitching at me for my annual celebration of the anniversary of the Wreck of the Evan Fitzgerald, I want to remind
Jesus.
You that I sat through your 20-minute riff on Scrapple
Listen,
today, okay?
Evan Fitzgerald went down, what, 1942 or 1939, whenever the hell it happened?
1975, right.
That's done and over with. That is finished. That is gone. That is history. Scrapple is now. Scrapple is today. I can go have Scrapple right now if I want to. You can't get on deck of the Edmund Fitzgerald right now, can you?
I can rent a submarine and go down to the wreckage at Lake Michigan if I want to.
I would like you to rent a submarine, and then I would like to bomb that submarine.
Is Scrapple available like in a supermarket? If somebody went in, they could go in and buy Scrapple?
Yeah, you can find it in your local grocers.
Yeah. But you don't have to.
You have to, and you should, because it is Scrapple, and it's awesome, and it's National Scrapple Day.
Who's hungry? Ain't gonna happen.
I also want to give a shout-out, finally. I've been behind this movement for some time. I've been saying, free Baba Suey. Free Baba Sui for some time now.
What's that? What happened?
Famous Nigerian actor Baba Sui. That's his stage name. Of course, his real name is Babatunde Omadina. Nigerian actor freed from prison, finally.
What's his story? What was he in for? And why do we care?
He was arrested last month at the Lagos International Airport on suspicion of trying to smuggle drugs to Europe. Now, anyone who knows the work of Batunde Omendina knows that that's not his way, but they didn't believe him. So they detained him. And they said, you must stay in this cell until you give us 25 successful bowel movements. So we can check them for drugs to see if you are a mule. And so he sat in that cell, and yesterday was his 25th bowel movement, everybody. He's free.
Yay!
He's a free man.
Did they think like 15 bowel movements in some drugs were going to show up?
Yes.
This is crazy.
Authorities say there have been several examinations carried out on him, and no banned substances so far have been found in his bowel movements. So they're letting him go. Lack of evidence after 25 successful bowel movements.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
No justice, no peace, we said for a long time.
Welcome to our new feature, Ralph's Baba. Potpourri.
Doesn't smell like potpourri in his cell, I'm telling you.
No, it doesn't.
Today's celebrity birthday is Lou Ferrigno, is 60 years old.
That was a hell of
today.
A show, Bishop.
I didn't have any time. It's already 8:01. What do you want from me?
I would just
I hear
like
she's
to say,
an actor. That's showbiz news.
I see. And he probably had scrappled at one time or another, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you, he would have raced through those 25 movements. He would have been out a lot quicker if he had a steady diet of scrapple. I'll tell you that right now. Lou Ferrigno, Incredible Hulk. Incredible? He is 60 years old today. Salt and Peppa's Peppa, psych, is 42 years old. Scarface of Ghetto Boys, 41. Chris Jericho turns 41 as well. Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy is 39. Nick Lachey is 38. Cisco turns 33 years old today. Vanessa Minnillo turns 31. Nikki Blonsky from Hairspray fame is 23. And my lovely wife, Carrie, celebrates her birthday today as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Foster and his people on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. There's one thing I have learned since yesterday's Kevin and Bean show, Lisa, and that is we are your station for pre-op transsexuals.
That is us.
I don't know about your email, but mine has been blowing up with people all over the country who have been listening to the interview of Kevin and Bean listener Megan, who joined us in studio yesterday. We did Asked a Transsexual. Here's one from Jesse in Denver. I just listened to your interview with Megan. I'm also a 44-year-old pre-op transsexual. I want to thank you for giving her the time to tell her side of the story. Going through our lives can be stressful. Sometimes it's even too much. But your broadcast was a breath of fresh air and has made our day brighter here.
That's nice.
That's very nice. Yeah. And I thought it was a fascinating discussion and very much enjoyed meeting Megan. And if you missed it yesterday, if you weren't listening to yesterday's Kevin and Bean show, shame on you, first of all. But second of all, you can find the podcast, of course, at kevinandbean.com, krock.com, or just subscribe through iTunes. Fascinating stuff. All right, let's turn our attention to a man, a married man, believe it or not, still with his wife, in Pasadena, Texas. He was working on a pipeline job away from home, Lisa, and got himself a little girlfriend on the side, like
mm-hmm.
we do.
Mm-hmm, like y'all do.
So it's going along, everything's fine. They're young and in love and hot and it's spicy. And he starts, you know, doing what guys do. Hey, you want to see it? And hey, I'm going to send you pictures of my junk via the email, and everything's fine, and they're all happy. Well, the relationship breaks up. And that's when the story gets ugly.
I have never acted inappropriately with anyone.
No, this period. This is not you, Herman Cain. No, this is this guy in Pasadena. So he has sent naked pictures to his lady friend. They break up, and the lady friend, not happy with the breakup or the way it came down or whatever he did to make that thing break up, decides she's going to get some sweet, sweet revenge. So what does she do? She emails the naked photos not only to his employer.
Ooh.
Not only to his wife, but to everybody that lives on the street where he and his wife live in Pasadena, Texas. Just mails it to their addresses, so the entire neighborhood now has naked pictures of this dude.
She is good, because I don't even know how you do that, number one. I am impressed. Wow. That, you know, he probably told her he was going to leave his wife and all that BS. And so
yeah.
I support the wife email, not the work so much.
Yeah, we don't have all the details on how it went so horribly awry with he and his girlfriend, but this is the, I mean, look, let's talk about naked photos for just a second here. I understand why people take the naked photos. I understand that it's sexy and that it's fun and that you want to please the person that you're in the relationship with and you think that they're going to enjoy it and you know, maybe enjoy it in return as well. The reason they don't take them is because of stories like this.
Yes. Things can go so bad so fast.
Naked photos are awesome if they're being viewed by their intended people. If the people you want to see them are seeing them, if anybody else sees them, then it's bad news all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But this story also stuck out to me because every once in a while you'll see a guy who gets in trouble for naked photos. I mean, I think that was part of what brought Chris Hansen down, wasn't it? Wasn't he sending naked pictures to his girlfriend? I think that was part of that story when that was revealed a few months ago.
I don't remember that, but wasn't there a football player? Who was the football player?
Yeah, there might have been. Anthony Weiner, of course, had those famous photos. I mean, he was denying until those photos started coming out. And then all of a sudden, it was pretty clear that he was taking pictures of himself with his clothes off to mail out to ladies. So obviously, that helped bring him down. But isn't it a different dynamic for guys taking naked photos than it is for girls?
I normally think they're doing it to be funny, generally. I mean, even when...
I'm not trying to be funny. That's just how it looks, Lisa.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was mistaken.
No, what do you mean? Because, I mean, like in this story, for instance, I think, I mean, I'm guessing now, but I think that this guy was away from this girlfriend of his and thought it would be hot. Hey, here's how much I miss you. Let me send you pictures of my stuff. I thought that. Okay. But you're saying she would not have received it in that spirit? Like, what if you can, and I know I'm asking you to speak for a lot of ladies, and we can take some phone calls on this, too. If you're a lady who has had naked photos sent to you, is this a thing that you like? Is this a thing that you request? Is it a thing that you enjoy?
Well, it's hard for me to speak because I've only had naked photos of men sent to me that I didn't request. So in that vein... Oh, I said vain. It's more funny than anything and generally not all that attractive. Plus, men don't know how to pose. Or maybe it's just hard to take that picture with your hand like that and be in a good position or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so.
They're generally not. But every once in a while, I'll get one. I'll go, damn.
Sometimes it's impressive. Right. Sometimes it's okay, right?
Yeah. It can be a beautiful thing.
Have you ever... been in a relationship with somebody or been dating someone and either had them send you naked photos that you enjoyed or asked them to and had them send you?
I have not.
Never, huh?
Mm-mm.
Has the reverse happened? Have you sent naked photos?
Mm-mm. I learned my lesson on this show.
Really?
Yes.
Has anyone ever asked you to? I mean, besides obviously all of us.
All of the listeners.
Yeah, and the listeners,
and
right.
You guys, but no, otherwise.
So you won't do it because you're uptight.
No, because I know it could backfire. It's a terrible idea. People get into your phone, whatever. It's a bad idea.
Well, hold on a second here. We're not trying to clamp down on ladies sending naked pictures. That's not what the point of this conversation is. I just wanted to have a conversation about the other side, about guys sending their photos and why they do it, and if women find it attractive. So I'm interested in hearing from ladies who have received naked photos and what your reaction was, whether you were into it or not, whether you liked it or not, whether it turned you on or not. And I'm also interested in hearing if there are any guys who have stories like the gentleman that we tell you about here in Pasadena, Texas. Have you sent out naked photos and had it gone horribly awry? Maybe it wasn't as extreme as this, where it was sent to everybody in your Rolodex or address book. Maybe it's just your photos were discovered by somebody in your house or somebody at work or something like that.
Right.
Naked photos for guys that have gone awry and the ladies who receive them. Those are the calls that we're looking for right now. 1-800-520-1067.
I don't even know who this woman is.
Okay, that's not important. We're not talking about you right now. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from both of those groups of people coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about penis photos here on another classy Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. Guy in the news who had an affair on his wife, and the girlfriend, once they broke up, decided she was going to send the naked photos to his wife, to his work, and to everybody that lives on the street where they live. So that was his sweet revenge. So he would say don't send naked penis photos, but I thought it might be interesting to hear from guys who have sent theirs, and also ladies, whether they like them or not, because it's not what you usually think of when you think of naked photos. It's usually the females who are involved in that, as it should be, by the way. Cynthia writes in, my husband is in the Army. He was deployed in Iraq for a year. I guess he felt that I was low. So he took it upon himself to not only send me naked pictures, but a video of him also exposing his junk. I never asked for either. I'm not sure how he got the idea, but the funny thing is, when he was shooting the video, the guy who shared his trailer walks in on him. He's got his junk out. The look on his roommate's face is classic, way more enjoyable than the video. Love you, Cynthia. So
that's
I thought
great.
That was funny. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's find out. Let's talk to Cindy maybe to get us going here on line 4. Hi, Cindy. Thanks so much for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's been your experience with guys sending you naked junk pictures?
I actually was not, I'd never actually expected it, and I got in contact with an ex-boyfriend, and I was just glad to be in contact with him. We hadn't spoken in years, and then I guess he kind of took the good conversation of, oh, it's nice to hear from you, for some sort of flirting or something,
mm-hmm.
and he decides to send a picture of himself, which wasn't that flattering a picture, and I think it had the opposite effect of what he intended. I'm sure he thought that maybe he'd get a booty call out of it.
Right.
But it wasn't going to happen with that kind of picture. I mean, maybe it just wasn't a good shot.
Well, Lisa, that's what you were saying. Is it's a look, guys are pretty easy. Ladies, if you're taking vagina pictures, you really can't screw that up. We're going to like whatever you said to us. But it's not the case with you ladies, right, Lisa?
I'll tell you, I've gotten so many pictures, and I just think, why doesn't he just suck it in for 5 seconds while he snaps the photo? What is that about? It just, oh, my God.
So that was a deal breaker, Cindy. That was the end of that, huh?
Yeah, it just wasn't a good shot. And then it's like his hand was trying to hold back, I guess, the skin around it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Thank you. Let's try Stacy, line 3. Again, exploring what ladies think about the naked photos. Hi, Stacy. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi, Lisa May. Hi, Kevin and B.
Hi, Stacy.
My fiance actually loves to send me pictures. And he does it when he's at work. He works out in the field, so he's constantly gone overnight. But if I don't send him something in return, he gets mad.
And oh, interesting.
That's a little more.
As like, I'm not as into him as he is into me. But
right.
If I do send him something, and then the next time I don't, he wants to know what's going on. And he expects it again. So it's just better to not. I mean, if you are in a relationship with somebody, you can see each other at home at night. You can see each other in the morning, in the shower. There's really no need to send.
Okay, but Stacey, let me ask you this. Why are you uptight?
Listen, see, but I'm not. Because I will try to do fun, spontaneous stuff for him and send him, like, cute little pictures and.
But now this is a chore. And by the way, for a woman to do it, you got to get undressed. It's a big deal. It's not just, you know,
deal.
Drop your pants.
Yeah.
It's not just like unzip your zipper and then you can just
right.
pull it out
yeah,
and be done. I work in an office, so I literally have to like go into the bathroom.
Are you kidding?
And it's like he doesn't understand that. Okay, I'm going to go in the bathroom for 20 minutes and really?
Understood. So, gotcha. Thank you very much for the call. We really appreciate it. All right. We don't have much time here. Let's try Kristen. Let's bring Kristen on line 7. I believe if I understand what Chip is telling me on the phone screen here, that she has a naked photo exchange that's going on with her boyfriend or husband, and it's actually turned out to be healthy and good. Hi, Kristen. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
What's going
Hi,
on with you guys?
It was actually with my ex-boyfriend. We dated for about 5.5 years. We were really young. At the beginning of our relationship, we both still lived at home, so it was our way of sending pictures back and forth to kind of get through the night when we couldn't
right,
spend
right.
the night together. So I personally loved it. He was the one that initiated it in the get-go, and mm-hmm. I loved it. I didn't mind it at all.
So when you guys broke up, what was it? Did you guys have a mature breakup where you had a conversation where you said, okay, but this is private. These aren't going anywhere. There's no revenge
yeah,
or
exactly.
okay.
We've ended very well. We actually, when we ended, we kind of went over and we both threw our phone, just erased everything. And we just said, you know what? We completely trust each other, but let's just go ahead and get rid of it, you know, just in case. But
that's
yeah,
impressive.
I was extremely lucky. And the only reason why I did it was because I extremely trusted him.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, if it was anyone else and we had just started dating, absolutely not.
So would you do it again?
I do. I would try to. I'm actually engaged right now to a different man, and I try to get him to do it, but he's not a fan.
How about that? Interesting.
I know.
All right. Last question for you, because unfortunately we're out of time on the topic here. You got girlfriends, I'm sure. What's the temperature of the room in terms of the topic in general about guys sending naked photos to girls? Do they like it or not?
I believe most girls do, and they try to pretend they don't because they want to seem innocent. I think they really do, as long as they are in the relationship with the person. Maybe if they're starting to date someone, maybe not so much. It might be a little extreme, but if you're
right.
in a relationship and you really care about that person, I think most girls would appreciate
and
it.
And I think that's the difference. Most girls aren't going to meet you in a bar, exchange numbers, and then send you a naked photo. Guys
right,
will
exactly.
do that.
Guys will
exactly.
do that.
And that is so not okay.
And
exactly.
think about all those Brett Favre photos you couldn't stop getting.
Yeah.
Remember when that
yes.
was happening? Like, every
yes.
time you
it's
open your email,
on.
There's another penis.
Seen
exactly.
It.
Yes. Yeah,
all right.
He was, It was pretty embarrassing in those.
Yeah.
Beer Bug, do not hit the button. I know you want to. Kristen, thank you so much for calling. I very much appreciate it. All right, we have to end it there, but we have to clear the lines and give you a chance to call in. If you want to join us on the red carpet world premiere, this is With the Stars, ladies and gentlemen, of Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. So this is your Kristen Stewart and your Taylor Lautner and your Rob Pattinson and Dakota Fanning. If you're a twitard and you have been dying to see this movie, now is your chance. I think the topic today, Lisa, is going to be famous wolves. I think famous wolves is what we're looking for because, you know, because your boyfriend Taylor Lautner plays that singing wolf in the movie. So 1-800, how do I know? 1-800-520-1067. It's Twilight questions for you. Give you a chance to join us at the premiere. You can call right now and we'll do that next here on the Kevin and Bean. Hey, Monday at LA Live, it's the red carpet world premiere with the stars of a little film we like to call the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. Ralph, why do we like to call it that, by the way?
Because that's the name of the movie.
That's the name of the movie. It doesn't open until everywhere else on Friday, November 18th. But if you want to go, you can call right now if you're a Twilight fan. 1-800-520-1067. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to name that wolf.
Name that wolf if you want to see Twilight. Name that wolf if you want to see Twilight. Name that wolf. You got to name that wolf. Name that wolf. Name that wolf. You got to name that wolf.
It is named that wolf, by the way, Bean. It's not wolf.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's wolf.
Because Dave came up with the idea for the game.
Yes.
And he said yesterday, no, seriously, this is the game we should play. Name that wolf.
Wolf.
Yeah,
wolf.
Exactly. He, that is how wolf. He pronounces it. All right. Yes. So we have a werewolf asking the questions today. And all of the answers are going to involve the word wolf somewhere in the answer. Do I have that right, sir?
Yes. Once again, let me be perfectly crystal clear. The word wolf will be in the answer. If you say AC/DC, I will come to your house.
All right. So 1-800-520-1067. Everybody gets on the air. Everybody gets a shot at it. If you are right, if you figure out your answer, then you go into the drawing and only two listeners will be invited to the premiere on Monday. The rest, I'm sorry, you succeed, but you fail. We'll take them in order. Beer Mug, starting with Connie on line one to get us going. Hi, Connie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Connie, team Edward or team Jacob?
Actually, I'm Team Volturi.
Oh, sure, we
you
all
are. Not.
Team
You're
Volturi.
Whoever he or she is awesome.
Them.
All right, here's your question, Connie. This Austrian-American celebrity chef became famous with the huge success of his L.A. restaurant, Spago.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I'm so nervous.
And again,
Wolf is in the title.
Right.
In the
and
title.
He's a famous.
You gotta name that Wolf.
Famous. Seeing Puck.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
You had some help, right, Connie?
No, heck no.
Heck no.
Well,
you are evil.
Okay.
Throwing the heck word around.
Well done. All right, let's try Vanessa line two. So far, we got one in the hopper. Vanessa, you ready to name that Wolf? Vanessa.
Vanessa. Yeah.
Okay. Speak up. Okay, listen up.
All right, your question has an audio clue, Vanessa, so you have to listen carefully. This song became a smash hit for the band Duran Duran in 1983.
Hungry like a wolf.
Yeah!
And she said wolf.
Actually, she did say wolf. Well done. All right. You were in the drawing to win tickets. All right. Let's try. It's going to be T-Fay. 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 Well,
T-Fay.
I have to say the pronunciation that Chip puts up it is in no way helpful. So thank you for that.
T-Fay,
listen up. Here's your question.
All right. This popular actor first became a star on the Fox TV series Party of Five and was most recently seen playing a TV newsman on ABC's series V.
Scott Wolf.
Yeah!
Look at that. Look at that. All right, three for three. We got time for maybe two more. Let's try Erica, line four. Once again today, by the way, 100% chicks calling for the Twilight Tales.
They love the Twilight.
Shocking to me. What are the chances? All right, Erica, you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, Erica.
Listen up. Good luck.
Your question also has an audio clue, so you have to listen up carefully. This Australian rock band won their first Grammy Award for Best Hard Rock Performance in 2007 with this song.
Woman, you got to be a woman. I got the feeling of love when you're
Wolf Mother!
Unbelievable. Incredible.
4 for 4.
Christina, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Are you ready to play Name That Wolf? You got to go to Christina there for me. Bear Munts on line 5. Sorry. Thank you very much. Try to keep up. Hey, Christina, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, Christina. Your song also has an audio clue. Listen carefully. What is the full name of the famous classical composer that is the subject of this legendary Falco song?
Beowulf.
He's a legendary composer.
No,
you're
sorry.
Right about that.
We were looking for Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Oh, darn it. Okay.
So sorry, Christina, but Beowulf is my favorite answer ever.
Thank you for playing, AC/DC. Connie, Vanessa, T-Fi, and Erica all in the running. Lisa May, unfortunately, 4 have won. Only 2 can go. Ooh. Who are they going to be?
It is Connie and Erica.
Connie and Erica!
Congratulations to both of you ladies. You're going to be with the stars on the red carpet this Monday night. Of course, the new Twilight movie, Breaking Dawn Part 1, opens up everywhere on Friday, November the 18th. Thanks for playing Name That Wolf.
You got to name that wolf.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Are you as obsessed with 17-year-old teen bride Courtney Stodden as we are? Not that way. No. You're not. There's nothing attractive about her at all in any way. You're not going to believe the appearance she made on Dr. Drew's Life Changers on the CW this week. We've got highlights of that interview coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here inviting listeners to spend your birthday with him. Right? Right, Ralph?
Your birthday with him. No,
or
my
birthday
with them.
With them.
Yeah,
right.
that's how it works out.
That makes more sense.
My birthday is next week, November the 17th, and to celebrate, the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino is throwing a poker tournament to celebrate my birthday.
Really?
How kind of them.
That's what they told me. Okay. Anyway, yeah, it is the 10K poker play from San Manuel Indian.
That's a long way to run.
Bingo,
I don't know.
Casino.
While you're playing cards? It seems difficult.
10K stands for the $10,000 you will win if you win the tournament. But yeah, sure, you're saying, sure, I'll win $10,000, but what's it cost me to buy into that poker tournament, you're asking yourselves? Well, let me answer yourselves. Nothing.
Dude.
Signing up is free. You just have to go to krock.com right now and sign up for your spot to play. But here's something even better. Kevin and I will be hosting the tournament. We will each have our own tables that we'll begin the tournament with. If you would like to play with me or with Kevin, I'm giving away a pair of seats at our tables right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Caller number 17, since it's happening on the 17th, will be sitting with me, and caller number 18 will be sitting with Kevin. So if you would like to play with me and or Kevin at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino 10K Poker Play, we'd love to have you come on out and join us.
This is on a Thursday night, if I'm
doing my
math.
It is a Thursday night, yes. Yeah, so Friday, Kevin and I are going to be in the best shape of our lives.
That's what I was thinking.
The 18th will be the best Kevin and Bean show ever. That's all I'm saying. Listen carefully, won't you? By the way, a lot of Scrapple love. Getting a lot of Scrapple. Just want to throw it in there. Don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but today is National Scrapple Day, and people are loving the Scrapple, raving about the Scrapple, and also interested in trying the Scrapple, and I'm doing my best to try to give out the best Scrapple info I can, so be patient, because I'm besieged with Scrapple requests.
Disappointed with all of you, especially you.
Brett Ratner, he is not going to produce the upcoming Academy Awards. He has been out there promoting his movie Tower Heist, which, by the way, did not do as well as expected. And he said several controversial statements that pretty much have led to his resignation as producer of the upcoming Academy Awards. I get the sense that he was strongly encouraged to resign by the Academy. First, he said that he had sex with actress Olivia Munn, that he had to rescind those statements. Now, no one knows whether the admission was the truth or the rescinding of that admission was the truth. But then he went on to talk about how rehearsal, he doesn't rehearse for his movies because rehearsal is for, in his words, the F word that is a gay slur. And that was not popular. GLAAD, amongst other anti-discrimination groups, complained. We're not happy with his use of that word publicly, and I guess the pressure led to Brett Ratner resigning as producer of the Academy Awards. Word is, though, Eddie Murphy still will be the host. So.
I think I agree with you, Ralph, when we discussed this earlier. And I know that we live in an era in 2011 where everybody has been told that that word is horrendously offensive
to our
gay friends.
Right.
And shouldn't be used. I get that.
Right.
I also don't think Brett Ratner in any way was talking about homosexuals when he made the remark.
No.
I think it was a poor choice of words, but I don't think he has hate in his heart for gay people.
No.
I just think that word now is something that's still in his vocabulary that perhaps shouldn't be.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that his meaning is being ignored in this media firestorm. However, I also do believe he is responsible for the things he says publicly. And like you said, that word, as we know now, can't be used.
Yeah. It's a shame. I miss it. It was fun. But
it really
those
was.
Days are over now.
There's plenty of suitable substitutes that are actually more accurate. You say wussies instead of the F word. You're actually being more accurate in terms of what you're trying to get across.
Right.
Like if I say bean is a wussy, that is 100% accurate.
That
if I say bean is an F word that is the gay slur, that is not accurate because to the best of my knowledge, he doesn't have sex with men.
Right.
He
right.
has sex with farm animals.
But I don't think, no, that's not the case either. I don't think I'm the example here. I'm just saying, Brett Ratner got a little bit of a raw deal, but he also kind of brought it on himself.
Hey, other groups are also upset. Surprise, surprise. The Parents Television Council. Now, who would think they would be upset about something on television?
Can't imagine.
They love everything.
They were not pleased with last night's Glee episode, which was called The First Time, where two McKinley High couples had sex, including Kurt and Blaine, the show's gay couple. Can you imagine the Parents Television Council's heads exploding that was on television? As far as we know, by the way, that may be the first depiction of a gay couple having sex on television.
I mean, we certainly have seen characters that are sexually active with one another on television before, but they actually had a bed scene. They actually showed some of it on the program. I don't watch Glee anymore,
first,
so I don't know.
First primetime show to depict a gay couple having sex on television.
How about that? All right.
As you can imagine, Parents Television Council fired off a strongly worded letter to the press. The fact that Glee intends to celebrate children having sex is reprehensible. The gender of the high school characters involved is irrelevant.
Oh, I see.
So they don't care that it was a gay couple and a straight couple.
Sure, of course they don't.
Children having sex, cats and dogs laying with each other. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Now, again, I didn't see the show, but was Glee celebrating it, or did they choose in their storyline to tell stories about characters who are having sex on the show?
Well, first of all, we all know high school kids don't have sex, so the whole thing is completely manufactured for their agenda. Now, I don't think they were celebrating. I believe that was just part of the story. It was Finn and Rachel, and then Kurt and Blaine, and their relationships had reached a stage where they were discussing whether they should have sex or not, what their decisions were. But then they sang a song and dance about it. I had sex.
I'm being told there was no sex shown on Glee. It was implied that it was going to happen. The scene ended with the boys both being fully clothed, but apparently that also is offensive to the Parents Television Council.
Well, they didn't like the straight couple having sex either.
Right.
And let's, by all means, just ignore it. Let's pretend it doesn't happen. Because then it will go away, right? Parents,
it
television council?
It is the media's fault that kids have sex.
Stunning. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk, 60 years old today. Peppa of Salt-N-Pepa is 42. Scarface of Ghetto Boys is 41. Chris Jericho, WWE wrestler, 41. Eric Dane, who is McSloppy on Grey's Anatomy, 39 years old today. Eric Lachey, 38. Vanessa Manillo is 31. And Cisco! Cisco!
Whatever happened to Cisco? It seems like he had it all back then, and then we never heard from him again.
Now he's gone, 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 gone.
I guess so.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You ever notice that 10 seconds per mug can be anywhere from 2 to 5 seconds?
Yeah, it could be immediately, or you could wait. You could have an Egg McMuffin.
Look, I'm only giving you the time on the song.
Oh, stop it. Just stop.
He's wearying. Now I know how you feel about me, because I feel that way about mugs. It's just exhausting to be in his presence. Congratulations to Tony Espinosa, by the way, like that's his real name, from Los Angeles, just picked up the free K-Rock Disneyland Park Hopper passes. We have those for you all week. Keep listening for your chance to call in and get those just in time for the holidays, and you can also sign up to win them at krock.com. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. Kevin DeBean Show, what's going on?
Not just a Wednesday, of course, National Scrapple Day. Let's not forget that. I'm going to bring in some scrapple tomorrow.
Ain't going to happen.
Everybody's going to eat it.
I'm going to force feed beans some scrapple. I'm going to make some scrapple out of one Bean's own pigs and then feed it to them. That's what I'm going to do.
That's just mean. I don't eat the pigs. You know that.
Yeah.
Especially that part of the pig.
I had a joke I could make there, but I'm going to leave it alone. Let's talk about another day, another reboot. This time it's CBS. They said they're bringing back the old Western series, The Rifleman. Anybody remember The Rifleman?
Chuck Connors?
Chuck Connors was the name of the actor who starred in The Rifleman. Bean, congratulations. You win. It was the story of a man in the Great Plains of these United States back in the Old West, and he had a young son he was trying to raise by his side. Their mother had passed away, and he was trying to teach this young boy how to be a man, right from wrong, black from white, red from white, I guess. It was the Old West. And it was a very successful TV program, but here's the thing. Isn't there a writer out there someplace with an original Western script that they could make a series out of it? They're bringing it back to television. They're going to reboot the TV series.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's not exactly a high profile. It's not a high concept. It's a son and father in the Old West.
Right.
No one remembers The Rifleman. No one cares about The Rifleman. No one's dying to see The Rifleman rebooted.
I mean, that's how I felt about Wild Wild West. I mean, that was a show I didn't really even know, but they insisted on making it a movie. But will people tune in to watch any Western, original or remake, on television in 2011?
At least the Wild Wild West was a concept that sort of was unique. It was a James Bond-type spy, but you set James Bond in the late 1800s, but he still got all the gadgets and all the cool stuff and everything. It was sort of a steampunk version of James Bond, which was a kind of cool idea. Certainly, the original series was awesome, and I could see why they would want to take a modernized shot at that. But this is just a dude in on a ranch with a kid.
Right.
That's all this is. Why have to bring back The Rifleman? Anyway, Chris Columbus, the director for Harry Potter, and of course many other feature films, he will be doing the pilot for The Rifleman, so...
He's a dick.
No, come on, I didn't say that. Sadly, rapper-actor Heavy D has died. He was rushed to a hospital in Los Angeles yesterday and was pronounced dead an hour later.
He's a dick.
Come on, please. He was 44 years old.
Yeah, that hurts. I'm sorry. I'm very sad, actually, to hear this news.
And the police are investigating his death as to cause. Heavy D and the Boys, of course, scored a number of big hits in the late 80s, early 90s, including, which I think this is probably their biggest hit, Now That We Found Love. Give me the permission, okie dokie, I bless it. Bless it like Buddha, Buddha as the best. We can lay down at the level, put your head on my chest. Heavy D worked with Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, many other artists, and also became a popular actor. Worked in The Cider House Rules and Life, had a recurring role on Boston Public, the TV series. Most recently was in The Tower Heist. He had a very successful career, and so sad news of his passing at 44 years old.
Is there any hint in his nickname that might give us a clue as to why he died, Ralph? Do we know?
Boy, now the Bean's lost a little weight. All of a sudden, everybody else is not living healthy enough for him. Look at those people over there with how they do. This guy who lived on mac and cheese for 47 years, and now all of a sudden everyone else is bad.
I didn't walk around being Heavy Bean and then be surprised when I drop dead, though, either.
I have to.
He's a dick.
I have to get myself a university. Apparently, if you have a university, you can just do anything you want. I'm not talking about Penn State in this particular case. I'm talking about the University of South Florida Polytechnic. The people who run that organization noticed a weird discrepancy in their budget of $10,000. Board members who run the school looked into it and found out that one department spent $10,000 on buying life-size replicas of Darth Vader, an Imperial Stormtrooper, E.T., and the chair belonging to Captain Kirk from Star Trek.
Huh? What?
Board member said, excuse me, science department, why are you buying this stuff?
Because it's awesome, that's why.
Because it's awesome indeed. They said they purchased it to encourage inspiration beyond conventional thought to some of their students.
And that flew?
Well, no word yet on the final final decision of the board of the school. On top of that, by the way, the people in the science department who purchased it said it was a bargain. We just had the collection appraised, and now it's worth over $21,000. So they doubled their money with this purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's right.
Look, I get why the school is upset, especially, you know, every school, money is tight. But I will say that it's because of shows, you know, like Star Trek and movies like Star Wars, that a lot of people get interested in science fiction.
Oh, stop
and get
it.
Interested in science.
Okay, you know what? So you go down to Best Buy and you pick yourself up a DVD of Star Trek for 1995 and you put it on the big screen at the cafeteria.
But you don't think there are little kids who see Star Trek and go, man, I'd like to learn how to build a starship. I'd like to learn how to go into science and go into...
It has nothing to do with that university NASA, spending like that. Good money on the replica of Captain Kirk's chair.
Yeah,
and the guy who runs the astrophysics department has that in his office, and he just sits in there with his pants around his ankles after hours.
it's our friend Roland.
That's right. Just saying, it's bogus. Anyone care what happened on Dancing with the Stars last night?
Is that show still on?
Still on. Into the 14th month of the current season of Dancing with the Stars.
They have to be getting close to the end, right?
There are still four finalists remaining.
All right.
But the...
Who's left? Is Bernie still on?
You mean J.R. Martinez? War hero J.R. Martinez?
Yeah, I didn't remember his name, but you know the guy I'm talking about with the face.
Rob Kardashian is still in the mix.
He's oh, my God.
There?
Hope Solo is in the mix, and Ricky Lake.
Wow.
Remains.
What happened to Nancy Grace? I thought she was still on.
Nancy Grace was voted off the show last night.
Okay.
She was given her walking papers, or her dancing papers, I guess, in this case. And so she will no longer be on the show. So sad news for everyone who likes farts, I guess.
And nip slips.
And nip slips. Today's celebrity birthday is Lou Ferrigno. He was the Incredible Hulk on TV. 60 years old and still looks terrific.
It's my birthday!
Yes, thank you, Lou. It is your birthday.
Stop by.
Peppa of Salt and Peppa is 42 years old. Scarface of Ghetto Boys turns 41. Chris Jericho, wrestler with the WWE, also 41 years old today. Eric Dane, Dr. McClappy, he is 39 years old today.
Steamy.
Nick Lachey celebrates his 38th birthday. Vanessa Minnelli is 31. Nikki Blonsky, actress from Hairspray, celebrates her 23rd birthday. And singer Cisco. Cisco!
Let me see that song.
So Heavy B is gone, but we still have Cisco.
Yeah, well, he's listen to that voice. He's talented. Let me hear a song. Like a special needs employee at McDonald's.
Would you like to play a fish with that?
Cisco's 33 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yes, you do, and yes, you are. Thank you, Ralph Garman, for joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Big show tomorrow. Actually looking forward to this. Remember the Marine that contacted the show? He was a big Kevin and Bean fan, and
yes.
He saw that celebrities all over the world were being invited to the Marine Corps Ball, which was coming up.
And accepting. Big celebrities were accepting these invitations.
Yeah, big names, eager to go support our troops. Yeah. And Lisa May got an invitation from this young Marine named Greg.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, she hates America. She's practically Al-Qaeda, so she spit on the flag, kicked him in the face, called him a baby killer, and said, good day, sir.
Yeah. Promptly rejected his invitation.
No, sir.
Rejected his invitation.
Take that invitation and just march your little butt right back to San Diego. That's what I told him.
Wow. That is exactly what you told him. At least you're confessing, because previously you've been denying that that's what happened.
And then I said, let me get you a hot date.
He ended up going with a playmate instead.
Yeah,
so it's a win-win.
It's not what he wanted. It's not what he wanted.
No,
it's what
he
ended up with. And it's a good thing to end up with, but still not what he wanted.
I did not help in arranging it, but I did help arrange it. I'm just saying.
Lisa's happy because she didn't have to pretend she cares about service people.
Right, exactly.
And this guy's happy because he got to go with the hottest chick in the room, a Playboy playmate. So anyway, he's going to be on with us tomorrow to tell us how his Marine Corps Ball experience was. Yes, he is coming in.
Hope he brings weapons and takes out Lisa. That's what my sincerest hope is.
We're also going to be talking to a representative from Normal. That's the organization that has been around for decades trying to legalize marijuana in this country. And you can imagine that it's a very confusing time, even for people who have prescriptions from their doctors in the state of California with what the Washington is doing against the California dispensaries. I mean, they're basically threatening to close the whole thing down again. Very confusing patchwork of what's legal and what's not. So he'll be on with us to try to talk about where that fight is. Mr. Dana White joins us on the program today.
President.
He, of course, the president of the UFC. He's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We also have more tickets for the red carpet world premiere of the Twilight movies. We got that for you tomorrow. And we're also going to be looking for Kevin and Bean listeners who are the oldest virgins listening to the show. There's a new program that's coming on the TLC channel about people who wait to lose their virginity.
Yeah!
Sometimes
I'm going to be on love that show.
Sometimes into their 30s, Lisa, they wait to lose their virginity.
Oh, it gets worse the longer you wait.
Yeah,
I imagine so. And what's that about? That's what we're going to be asking you. So if you are an exceptionally old person who has yet to lose his virginity for whatever reason, we're going to be wanting to hear from you. All of that tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean.